On Page Turners, we ask people from all walks of life to tell us about a favorite book. WABE's Dennis O'Hare came in with a stack of books, and they were all from a comic strip that transformed the genre when it began in the late 1940s. He cracked them open once more with WABE's Kate Sweeney.
This was out there.
What's that title?
They were reprinting it, 10 Ever-Loving Blue-Eyed Years. And then much later, I was going through antique bookstore in Atlanta and found this, which is the very first from 1953.
So you've brought in a stack of books by the late cartoonist Walt Kelly, and this is Pogo.
And it was a revolutionary comic strip. It influenced generations of cartoonists afterwards, changed the rules for cartoons in so many ways, and it was alternately really pointed, really sad, and stupidly hilarious. And I just loved it.
When did you discover Pogo?
You know, I'm admitting my age here, but it was in 1970. I was new in the school that I was in because we moved around. And I was fairly new and kind of lost. And my friend David Roby gave me this collection of Pogo books, Impalutable Pogo. And I had seen Pogo. I was a newspaper boy when I had been much younger, but I didn't get into Pogo. The drawing was dense. There were lots of words. And suddenly reading this book as a high school kid, it hit me like, you know, like something falling off a shelf and whacking you upside the head. And I just started laughing so hard. I was reading the book in the library at school, unfortunately. I got thrown out for laughing so hard, and I was hooked.
For the listener who isn't familiar with Pogo, how would you describe this strip?
Pogo was an opossum. It doesn't really look like an opossum.
No, he doesn't. When I read that, I thought, really? And I looked at it again, and I thought, he's just kind of developed into his own character.
Well, in one of the books that I have, which was a 10th anniversary collection from like 1959, there is a drawing of like an early attempt at Pogo, and he looks a lot more like an opossum. Unfortunately, he doesn't look like a cute cartoon character.
Right, because that'd be really hard. Actual opossums are not cute.
No, and they're not really all that friendly or fun. But Pogo became this kind of little philosophical observer of the chaos around him in this world that he lived in, which was the Okefenokee Swamp. So there's
in
a Georgia,
Georgia
connection to this. Some of the characters have names that connect to Georgia. They talk in lots of different ways, which was revolutionary in the artwork. For instance, P.T. Bridgeport, who's this bombastic bear who talks in circus-like oratory, and the cartoon balloons, what he says comes out in the graphics of circus posters. And there's a buzzard who runs a funeral parlor, or actually lives in the funeral parlor, and when he talks, the balloons have little black borders around them and this really ornate script like you'd see in an old-fashioned sympathy card. So the level of detail in the drawing and in the lettering is just ridiculous by today's standards.
It sounds like it's just its own world.
It's totally its own world, and yet our world continually intrudes into it. The characters sometimes will use the panels as part of the scene. You know, like run into the wall of a panel or light a match or something on the side of the panel, and then ours intrudes into theirs because there are all of these political figures who become characters in the swamp.
Well, I would love to talk about that because followers of your work know you in large part, I'm sure, for your political reporting. And as you were sort of starting to talk about, there was political satire in Pogo. In 1960, the strip featured a presidential candidate who was an egg with two protruding webbed feet. And this was a comment on the youth of John F. Kennedy, the presidential candidate at the time. Do you think that that political satire sort of touched a nerve in you?
At the time, well, when I discovered it, it wasn't all that much about the political satire. Kelly had so much going on in this strip. It was the words. It was the fun he was having with the language. It was the drawing. It was the slapstick. You know, he could be pointedly satirical one moment and just totally goofy the next. It's almost as if he's operating on three or four levels at once.
And you've actually bookmarked a comic in one of these books to give us an example of this.
This one is from April 10th. It's probably 1969, maybe. Pogo and his friends Albert and Porky love to just sit in the boat in the swamp and fish.
Albert is an alligator,
yes. Sarcophagus Macabre is a buzzard who runs this funeral parlor. Pogo says, did you hear Sarcophagus Macabre is having the gang pep up all the funeral marches? And Porky, who's always, he's kind of a gloomy character, he says, I don't know. A fast funeral could lead to some very embarrassing mistakes. A corpse should always be notified that he's dead. And Albert says, I'd like a long and slow funeral, about 176 years all told. So, you know, it's that kind of irony, sometimes a little bit dark and absurdist. It's that we're not here for very long. Sometimes we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing so seriously. And you see echoes of that in Calvin and Hobbes, Bloom County. And one of the more famous quotes from him is, don't take life so serious, it ain't no how permanent.
We can talk about the language or the political satire, but altogether it seems to sort of be this way of thinking that either you're going to be a fan of Pogo or you're not.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a comic strip that, you know, you either loved it or you hated it, because it was really definitely political, so that angered some folks. But the politics, it's been played up a lot because he was one of the first to do it. But if you look back over it, a lot of it isn't. But it was really wordy. You couldn't sometimes pin it down. It wasn't always predictable. So, you know, some folks didn't like it. And I can see why, because it wasn't just a kid strip. It wasn't just an, oh, let's have fun and escape. Although there were days when that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And on that note, finally, you've brought one more example to share with us. And this is actually a poem that appeared at the start of one of the Pogo anthologies, which Walt Kelly would actually do quite often.
Yeah. On the right page in this one. This one's from 1955. It's called Lines Upon a Tranquil Brow. Have you ever, while pondering the ways of the morn, thought to save just a bit, just a drop in the horn, to pour in the evening or late afternoon or during the night when we're shining the moon? Have you ever cried out while counting the snow or watching the tomtit warble hello? Break out the cigars. This life is for squirrels. We're off to the drugstore to whistle at girls.
There's just something so sweet about that. I was waiting for some dark edge to come out.
No, not on this one.
Dennis O'Hare, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, it was my pleasure. Thanks. I haven't had time to look at these in a long time, so it was nice to haul them out and look at them again.
Yes, mingo, so pogo go, kila ha ha go. Atsy go, to frisco go, to far ha ha go. Oh, keep an okie playing, a possum on a pogo stick.